Hey everybody, this is Chris Stewart.
And this is Janet Beasley, and you're listening to 91.3 FM WVUD and WVUD HD1
in Newark, Delaware.
The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Amanda Richard, and welcome to the Music Room, and welcome to 2016. To kick off this year's edition of the Music Room, old Mando Richard here is bringing you one of his mandolin friends, Henry Koretsky, from the Harrisburg Mandolin Ensemble. That's right. Not just one mandolin player who's better than Mando Richard, but five of them. So we're going to have a whole lot of fun. And while I'm getting Henry on the phone, I'm going to let you listen to something that they did live back in October at the Harvest Moon Festival, put on by the Ashland Nature Center, with the music provided and supported by the Brandywine Friends of Old Time Music. Here's Something Snappy. Thank you. Well, that was something snappy, wasn't it, Henry?
It was indeed. That's a tune by a family band from the Midwest called the Eichers, the Eicher family. And Greg Rohr, one of the people in our group, heard it and thought it would sound really good. And we've actually been using that a lot as a set opener. We always say we want to start off with something snappy, so we can literally do it with a tune called Something Snappy.
Henry Koreski, thank you so much for joining us here in the Music Room. And as I was teasing you before you came on the air, that it's an honor to get a chance to speak with one of five mandolinists who are better mandolinists than old Mando Richard here.
My pleasure. And like I told you, we're all just trying to keep up with each other. But it's great to be interviewed by a fellow mandolinist.
I guess the first question is, I mean, not everybody in our listening audience is afflicted with the desire to play an eight-stringed instrument. Whose name translates out of Italian as "it can't be tuned." How and why did the Harrisburg Mandolin Ensemble form?
Well, we have one person to blame for primarily, and his name is Tom Cook. And Tom is the fellow who currently plays mandola with us. And Tom has mandolins in his blood. He is a hardcore mandolin player, instrument collector, excellent bluegrass mandolinist and tenor singer, but also very interested in all kinds of music. And he's also interested in mandolin orchestras. In fact, one of his ancestors, I think maybe his grandfather, used to play in the Harvard Mandolin Orchestra back in the early part of the 20th century. So he still has pictures and programs of that era. Tom was definitely bitten by the bug, and I think he got together with another Harrisburg mandolinist named Wade Yankee, who plays with the bluegrass band Coldbrook Road. And the two of them talked about, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Harrisburg had its own little mandolin orchestra? Because, as you know, but some of your listeners may not, mandolin orchestras were a very big part of American musical culture back in the early 20th century. Companies like Gibson and, believe it or not, Sears used to sell instruments and go from town to town and set up mandolin orchestras, little community orchestras, because parlor music, making music yourself, was very big in these days before, you know, YouTube and MTV and television and radio. So they would set up orchestras, and so they'd have an instant market to sell their instruments. And these orchestras would be like your standard community orchestras, but instead of violins, you'd have mandolins, and instead of violas, mandolas, instead of cellos, mandocellos, and there are even these odd beast, hybrid musical beasts called mando basses, and we have one of them in our group as well. So even though mandolins are challenging instruments to play, having tried to play the fiddle, I can say that it's a lot easier to get started on a mandolin than it is on a bowed, fretless instrument. So there's a tradition, and it hasn't totally died out. Some big cities like Baltimore, Philadelphia has an excellent mandolin and guitar orchestra, Nashville, we're starting to make a comeback. So we thought we'd do our own little downsized version of a mandolin orchestra.
And
Tom began recruiting every mandolin player that he could contact, and he ended up with the five of us currently in the group now.
That's Greg Rohr, who in real life is a postman, is that right?
He works for UPS.
Oh, UPS, okay, that's right.
So he works the night shift, so we'll play a gig, and then he has to go to work. And Greg is playing mandolin and banjo mandolin, and Tom, who is a lawyer in his other life, and a fine bluegrass player, and Pete Netznik is the poor soul who is forced to play the mando bass, or has taken on willingly the task of playing the mando bass. And Pete is a very much in-demand bassist and guitar player in blues bands. That's kind of his main genre. And our newest member is Kevin Nydick, who is a brilliant guitar player and songwriter and singer. But he's joined the band just so he could hone his mandolin chops.
And he did a really nice job on several things with you. When I heard you last October at the Harvest Moon Festival over in Greenville, Delaware. But you don't usually make it this far south.
Well, we travel wherever we can, honestly. Despite being Harrisburg in the name, we like to travel. And, in fact, it's rarer that we actually play in our hometown than we do. But because we're just getting started and it's hard to tap into the mandolin orchestra, mandolin ensemble circuit, if you know what I mean, we're just starting to get spread out a little bit more. But we're hoping to do it because we always have a great time playing at Harvest.
Looking at your website, I see you've got an upcoming gig later this month in Reading, and then some this summer in like Lewisburg and Lititz, sort of out there in that general central Pennsylvania area.
Yeah, in fact, our Reading gig is probably one of the closest ones for listeners, for your listeners, and it's a live in the studio for WEEU in Reading, and they bring in a little studio audience, so it'll be a radio interview, live performance, plus a little videotape session. So hopefully we'll have a little bit for that we'll be able to put up on our website as well.
Well, here at WVUD, we're a little bit lower budget, so you and I are talking on the phone, and we're playing recorded music.
Well, you can wave a picture of the band in front of the microphone.
Everybody, can you see this? Can you see this? Here, I'm moving the microphone right at the computer so you can see the band with their HME headstock logo.
With subtitles as well.
You guys are just, it's just so much fun. I mean, you gave such a great performance in Delaware back in, as I said, October. And it's just, you were battling the elements. I mean, the music was flying everywhere. And then you did this wonderful, wonderful waltz medley, including one of my favorites by Andy Stottman and one of my favorites by Norman Blake.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those names because those are two of my favorite players as well. In fact, Andy Stottman was probably the closest to a mandolin role model that I had when I was first starting to play the instrument. And he was responsible for a lot of my segues into traditional bluegrass and jazz and klezmer music. It was actually Greg who suggested doing one of his real signature tunes, a waltz called Flatbush Waltz, which I thought was a beautiful tune. And being of partial, you know, a motley ancestry that includes some Russian elements and Jewish elements and such like that, I thought we could also tie it in with Norman Blake, because Norman Blake is known, as you know, as a brilliant guitar player and less known as a mandolin player. But he did a beautiful album years ago called Original Underground Music from the South, which was kind of like a bigger scale version of what we're doing, a very much a lush mandolin orchestra sound, and all these beautiful original compositions, including this one of my favorites was a waltz called Natasha's Waltz. So we thought those two would work together, and Greg did a great job of arranging both of those tunes for the band. Thank you.
That's a beautiful pair of waltzes, Henry.
Thank you. Those are great tunes. It's great to spread them out there, you know. I think you could almost hear the rushing wind from people who weren't there that day. You and I both can appreciate what a raw, windy day that was when we were playing out there.
But that's, you know, that's part of the thing, being folk musicians. I mean, you persevere in all sorts of different conditions.
That's true, even though the music stands were blowing in the wind.
Well, what kinds of music do you guys play? You've got a whole different variety of things that you play.
And that's one of the things that we enjoy most. And part of it, I think, is because we're not really a mandolin orchestra per se. Most mandolin orchestras have we've had people come up to us and say, hey, can we join? And it's sort of like with a standard orchestra, you have parts that are already written out orchestrally, and it doesn't matter if you have 5 cellos or 10 cellos or 2 cellos. But we've evolved into sort of a small little downsized group of 5. And so anytime we've had a personnel change, we've had to change our arrangements radically, because we pretty much make up our own arrangements as we go, and they kind of reflect our eclectic taste. So we'll play swing, we'll play jazz, we'll play world music, we'll play bluegrass, we'll play pop music, we'll play blues, we'll play, we've even tried to tackle some classical music and some classical arrangements. And it's all fun, but we kind of have to arrange it on our own way. And because we're so distinctive in size and makeup, we've kind of decided that our arrangements sort of have to be unique as well, because we don't want to just copy what other people do or what other groups might be doing. So we make it up as we go.
But what's cool about this is it's taking different forms of music and putting sort of a, well, I'm still going to call it a traditional veneer on it, because mandolin groups are a part of American history.
And we absolutely are based in roots music, and it's just like that the roots are, as with most musical forms, very tangled and complex. You know, we do one medley, which we start with an Irving Berlin tune. We go to a mandolin vaudeville showcase that was written by David Apollon, who was a great mandolinist of the early 20th century. And then we finish with a gypsy jazz version of a Russian tune, all in one piece.
One of my favorite pieces that I heard you do at last October, and it's also up at your website, and the URL for that is?
www.harrisburgmandolinensemble.com.
Told you I'd let you plug your website.
Thank you.
One of my favorite songs was, it's a sort of a reworking by a traditional musician, Dirk Powell, of a traditional song, Waterbound.
Correct. Waterbound is a great old rollicking old-time ballad, but Dirk Powell, who is equally grounded in old-time music and Cajun music, took the basic concept of Waterbound and rewrote a beautiful haunting ballad that I'd heard on a recording. So I thought, and one of the things we tried to do in the HME, in addition to the other stuff, is we wanted to add vocals to it, because we got a bunch of, you know, decent singers in the group and we love singing, so we decided to bring the song element in it. So we took a traditional fiddle tune, one that I've always enjoyed arranging as a fugal piece, Over the Waterfall, and then we used that as a prelude to our own version of Dirk Powell's Waterbound.
I went out late one night, moon and the stars were shining bright. Storm come up and the trees come down. I tell you, boys, I was waterbound. Waterbound on a stranger's shore. River rise into my door. Carried my home to the fields below. Waterbound, nowhere to go. guess I'm gone and I won't be back. If you don't believe me, count my tracks. The river is long and the river is wide. I meet you boys on the other side. So say my name and don't forget. That water still ain't got me yet. Nothing but I'm bound to run. I'm water bound and I can't get home.
That was you singing Waterbound, wasn't it?
Yeah, I confess. I love singing that song. I really think it's pretty. I've almost gotten legs. I actually was writing a review of a band from Australia that had recorded their own version of that tune.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that keeps folk music alive, is all of these different versions that we all play.
Yeah, I think reinventing tune. I mean, I have a lot of respect for people who try to maintain the traditions as they heard it, but I also think it's important to add new life to it and modern wrinkles to it. I think that keeps the songs and the tunes vibrant and alive.
It's you're right. It's there's some of what you're doing is moving music forward, and some of it is preserving tradition.
And we try to strike that balance as best we can, because the music itself is so strong. I mean, nobody's going to mistake it for, you know, the latest pop stuff that comes on the radio. It's the roots of the music are so strong and so unique, and that's why these tunes and styles have survived over these decades, over all these generations, you know. And I think we're just adding new elements to it, you know.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Henry. What song would you like to introduce? You know which ones I have on my recording here. I mean,
well, why don't we go with Moonflowers? How's that for a
okay?
Five?
Tell us about this one.
Well, this one, I was teaching a teenage student from a young family band here in Harrisburg called Seasons. Her name is Mary Teresa Lee, and she was learning to play the mandolin, and she brought in this tune that her eldest sister, Mary Kate Lee, had written called Moonflowers. And they're sort of a family Celtic band from this area, an excellent one. We were working on this tune. I thought, boy, what a beautiful tune. I wonder what it would sound like with a bunch of mandolins. Brought it into the band, and Greg took it upon himself to arrange it for the ensemble, and it turned into one of our favorite pieces. In fact, Pete, our bass player, insists on this. We play this tune every time, even if we're playing just a short section. It's one of his favorite tunes. Oh, I should mention, it just occurred to me that while we have a pretty steady lineup of people, we sometimes do have to call on a backup bass player. So actually, there's a different bass player playing with us in Delaware last October, and that was Bruce Campbell, who's a wonderful fill-in on the mando bass.
From Lancaster, as I recall.
Yep. Very good, yes, exactly.
And this track we're about to play, Moonflowers, is available for download at your website. And the URL for
that
is?
www.harrisburgmandolinensemble.com. It's available for free download, and we also have some links to some video clips as well. And eventually, I guess, to your podcast, right?
That's correct. Henry, this has been great fun for me, and I hope it's been great fun for all of you who have been listening.
Richard, thanks very much for having us on. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.